day, you know, even here at Golden Village or at home, especially like, let's say, Nathan, our almost six-year-old, will eat lunch, and half an hour later will say, "Mom, I'm hungry." And then I say, "You can't be hungry." And he says, "But I'm hungry." "You can't be hungry. You just ate." And then I'll tell him what he ate. He says, "But I'm still hungry." Or Kyle will say, "That hike was boring." "No, it wasn't. It was great. It was boring. It was great. Remember all we saw?" Does that ring any bells?
Yeah.
What's happening in your households? Well, that's how it is in my households. And it's interesting, we've just come away from some vacation time, and sometimes we see this in our parents' households. My parents are sitting next to each other, or it's like Scott's parents, and Joe will say, we're at a restaurant, and Dorothy will say, "What do you want to eat?" He says, "I'm going to have chicken." "You can't want chicken. You never want chicken. When I fix chicken, I want chicken." I mean, it's like, you know, they've got the pattern, we've got the pattern, and it's not working for anybody. Okay. There's another way to do it. And most of the time, like when I say, "You can't be hungry," I'm basically saying, "You don't know what you know. You don't feel what you feel. I basically wiped it out. You're not cold. You're not hungry. The teacher is not dumb. Whatever it is, I've just canceled it out. I've wiped it out." And when I do it, I know it doesn't work. I know it doesn't work, and I want to change. Okay. Look at some of these. Can you, we're going to use some of this transparency here. Let's say you have a firstborn, and you know you're preparing this child, the baby, and they're very excited to be the big brother and the big sister. And then the baby comes, and your child says to you, "I don't like the new baby." Now, what might you have said, you've heard other parents say, that would wipe out that feeling? What could you say back when your child says, "I don't like the new baby"?
That's not true.
You don't mean that.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do. And you will like his baby. Okay.
Oh, he's so cute.
Hey, you've bought the presents, you've done the cake, you've gone to Waterworld, you've done the $75 deluxe birthday party, and the child comes home and they said, "I have had a dumb birthday party." Now,
strangle.
Yeah. You better not. I just spent $75 for this party, and you better have had fun.
That's what you asked for.
It's old.
Get
that in there. Yeah. Charles says, "I don't want to wear these this dumb tan." And you say,
"You have to wear it.
You have to wear it."
"No, it's not be $10,000.
We all know this, right? We know this stuff. Okay. That happens. Okay. What I'd like you to do is to, I'm going to read you this, and it's from this book. And it may help us to put ourselves in their shoes. You know, what happened if we had a situation like this, where this happened to us, where somebody denied our freedoms? Imagine that you are at work. Your employer asks you to do an extra job, and your employer wants it done by the end of the day. You're going to take care of it immediately, but a series of things happen, and phone calls, and your computer breaks down, all these things, and you don't get it done. And you don't even have time to eat your own lunch. You are so busy. 5 o'clock, you and your co-workers are closing up. Your boss comes over you and asks for that finished piece of work. You quickly try to explain what happened during the day and why you're not able to give your employer that. He then interrupts you. In a loud, angry voice, he shouts, "I'm not interested in your excuses. What the hell do you think I'm paying for you to sit around on your butt all day?" And as you open your mouth to speak, he says, "Save it," and walks away. Your co-workers pretend not to have heard. You gather your things, you go home, you cry on the way home. You find a friend, and your friend tries to help you.
Now, how would you feel if your friend tries to help you in this way? What would you say when your friend says this? There's no reason to be so upset. It's foolish to feel that way. You're probably just tired and blowing the whole thing out of proportion. You said that to your kids?
Oh,
it can't be as bad as you make it out to be. Come on, smile. You look so nice. Now, how would you feel? If it was a man and a woman, that, you know, I'd feel really. Okay? And, you know, if it was the same sex, I don't know how I'd feel, but, yeah. And they wiped out the feelings. Okay. What if they said this? Hey, life is like it. Things don't always turn out the way we want. You have to learn to take things in stride. In this world, nothing is perfect.
Better, but not very good.
Written off.
Yeah. You'd sense that they hadn't got it, had they?
Yeah, that's it.
It may be true, but they didn't attend to
you. You already know that.
It didn't help. Well,
yeah.
They didn't fix it. It didn't help.
There was no empathy there.
There's no empathy. No. No. It may be like Forrest Gump, but, but it doesn't help, does it?
Okay.
You know what I think you should do? Tomorrow morning, go straight to your boss's office and say, look, I was wrong. And sit right down, finish that piece of work you neglected today. Don't get trapped by those little emergencies. If you're smart and you want to keep that job of yours, make sure nothing like that ever happens again.
If you were more organized, this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. You feel almost worse.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's compounding.
It's like compounding the problem.
You know, you've worked as hard as fast as you can, and then they're telling you you could have done it better.
Yeah.
Because you failed.
Yeah. I don't know about you. I mean, I've done all these with my kids. But I think I excel at this.
Exciting when you teach.
Yeah, really? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, that's right. You must have done something wrong, you know. And basically, you have. You neglected that work.
Yeah.
Doesn't help. Okay, how about this? What exactly were those emergencies that would cause you to get a special, to forget a special request from your boss? Didn't you realize he'd be angry if you didn't get to it immediately? Has this ever happened before? Why did you follow him when he left the room and try to explain again? How would you respond to those questions? How would you feel? Put down?
It's pretty similar.
I feel
like your friend can believe you when you say,
I don't know, just why, what were these emergencies?
Kind of like, were they valid enough?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, should you actually have followed whatever these interruptions were?
Yeah.
Probably
defensive. Start feeling kind of like you defend yourself.
Defensive. Yeah. Now you have two people you have to explain your day to. Your boss and your friend.
Start with a brand new friend.
I did. Yeah. This person is not, you're going to not take them with you to commiserate, are you?
No.
Okay. How about this? I can understand your boss's reaction. He's probably under terrible pressure. You're lucky he doesn't lose his temper more often. You know, a flip side with kids are, you know, your teacher has a big class. You know, teaching 27 kids in 1995 was a big job, and she's underpaid. You know, when you go through that.
Yeah?
Have you heard that, school counselor? Yeah, okay. Yeah, if that one doesn't work, okay. I'm sure you'll love this. Oh, you poor thing, that's terrible. I was so sorry for you, I could just cry. Now that's a little more empathetic, but do you feel better? I was on a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't feel bad. This is great. Has it ever occurred to you that the real reason you're so upset about this is because your employer represents a policy?
Yes!
A child becomes worried about displeasing their father and their boss told you it brought back your early fears of rejection. Isn't that true?
Please. Please.
Yes. Even if you do that, if you're married to your spouses, you go back kind of like psychoanalyzing their family system. Do you ever do that?
I'm glad Scott's not here.
Okay. How about this? Boy, it sounds like a rough experience to be subjected to an attack like that in front of others, especially after having been under so much pressure. It must have been pretty hard to take. Do you like that one?
Yeah.
Better? You feel better? These are all amateur psychologists. We've got the whole thing. Pity, advice, defense of the other, questions, denial of feelings, philosophy. All of these are ways that we use to deny feelings. And we use them with our kids. We use them in our families. We use them all over the place. So you can imagine what our kids feel like. And when Nathan says, I'm hungry, and I say, no, you're not. No. I know exactly.
Well, you say, you can't be.
You can't be. Come on in.
Like on feelings?
Oh, this is on feelings. Yes. Come on in. Come on in. Join over here. We've got three chairs for you over here. When I'm upset, I really don't want someone to solve my problems. Sometimes I want them to ask me questions, probably not a whole series, maybe just one. Think about it. I may even ask them, well, what do you think? And when I ask them that, if you tell me, chances are I'm not going to follow it. I just maybe want you to share a little bit and I kind of bounce off it and think it through. I want someone to hear me, to acknowledge my feelings, to accept them. I don't care if they agree with me or not. I just want to be heard. And I suspect my kids want the same. The language of empathy is not part of our native tongue. Maybe some of you learned that in your household. And I think I have a pretty good family background. And I got empathy, but I got a lot of those things too, right? How about this for another way to help kids with feelings? From yesterday, we all know that we all need to have our feelings accepted and respected. Acknowledge the feeling. You do not have to agree with it. Just hear it, recognize it, accept it. Listen with full attention. We talked about this yesterday. Acknowledge their feelings with a word. I see. Give their feelings a name. Name the feelings. Oftentimes, in our culture, people will say, I feel, how about this? I feel that Bill Clinton is doing a great job. Now, can you articulate, what feeling have I named? Can you think of any? I feel that Bill Clinton is doing a great job.
Confidence.
Okay. I may be that. It's probably a belief. It's probably more of my opinion.
Okay.
I could say, I feel comfortable in Bill Clinton's ability as president. Now you know, I'm comfortable. Sometimes we'll give an opinion, a thought, a belief. Feeling is more like comfortable, anxiety, frustrated. Sometimes kids don't have a name for their feelings, but if we can give their feelings a name, that's helpful. And then this one uses, I did, this one helps a lot with my six-year-old. And I could have used it this morning with my nine-year-old, and I totally messed up on that one. Give them their wishes and fantasy. Let me give you some examples of this. Okay, we got a little here. Now, does this look like your family? So you're watching TV, you're getting engrossed, and kid comes and says, Eric punched me. So, Daddy, do you hear me? I can hear you. Go on. So I hit him back, and then he hit me again. Are you listening? He's the bottom. I'm listening to every word. No, you're not. I can listen and watch the game at the same time. Me, I can listen and cook at the same time. Oh, forget it. This is half listening. What
If you were the child, what would tell you that your dad is not listening to you? What behaviors do you see in this cartoon?
His dad not looking at him.
Wouldn't turn the TV up.
No kind of response. I mean, it's not verbal or body language or anything. There's no response.
Other than I'm mystery.
Yeah. Sometimes when my mom would tell long, extensive stories on the phone, we were far away, and she nailed me. She's nailed me many times. I'd be like putting my makeup on, got the phone, you know, I'm getting ready to go to work. She's talking, and then she'd say, "Melissa, just grunt if you're still there." Listening with full attention. Eric punched me so Daddy didn't hear me. So I hit him back. Then he hit me again, even harder. He's mean. You know what? I'm going to play with Danny from now on. He doesn't go around punching people. What's different in this one? Full attention, how do you know?
If he turned off the TV and was looking at it.
We're looking right at him. He didn't say a thing. And look what the child did. Now, of course, you know, we could pass our, you know, here's your script. You read this, and I'm going to read it. It'd be perfect little family. Of course, it doesn't go like that. But he doesn't say a thing. And the child solves their own problem, which is good for their independence. Listening with full attention.
You know, even using small words like, oh, I see, you can even say those in shaming ways. My husband's mother was shaming ways. Oh. I mean, you can give a judgment in tiny, tiny little words, so we have to also be careful how those small little words come up.
Oh, yeah. Because you can pick that up.
Yeah, the intonation.
The body language, the face.
Yeah. You know, I find this amusing because I do all these wrong things, you know, when I'm listening to my kids. But when I want to talk to someone, a lot of times I'll talk to my teenage daughter because we're really close and everything. And she'll either start to give me advice or, you know, all these things, you know, explain to me why I should feel this way and go on and on. And I just wanted someone to listen to me. And so, you know, I'm doing the same thing with her.
What do you do?
I usually stop talking to her. I don't want her to listen to me. But it is, you know, it kind of reminds me when this happens. You know, that this is how I should be listening to her and to my other kids.
I still suspect if you're using, you know, skills like this, that she's going to be learning them. She's going to have a different family life. Okay, instead of questions and advice, somebody stole my new red pencil. Are you sure you didn't lose it? I didn't. It was on my desk when I went to the bathroom. Well, what do you expect if you leave your things lying around? You've had things taken before, you know. This isn't the first time. I always tell you, keep your valuables in your desk. The trouble with you is you never listen. Oh, leave me alone. Don't be fresh. Now as a child, you know, what's mom's reaction?
Accusing.
A very accusing. Yeah.
Again, not believing what she's saying.
No, yeah, discounting it.
Yeah.
And then a label. You never listen. Careless. What's the other words? You know, the child feels it, and then the child kind of pushes away, and the mom gets her for that.
And the mom set her up.
The mom set her up. You bet. You know, if your employer, a peer, a friend said something like that to you, you know, you'd feel very different. How about this? Now again, keep in mind the different ways these words come out. This is acknowledging with that a small word. Somebody stole my new red pencil. Oh, I left it on my desk when I went to the bathroom and somebody took it. That's the third time I've had my pencil ripped off. Ah,
I know from now on, when I leave the room, I'm going to hide my pencil on my desk. I see. I could see myself doing these three responses, but this one, I think I might do differently. If my kid had a great suggestion like that, I think I'd say
yes. Exactly.
You know, I'd love
to. Rewarding.
Yeah,
I'd like it with comment.
So I see.
You see.
Yeah. Good idea. Some little pat on the back on that one. Yeah, I would too. But have you ever had a situation where you have just answered with a word and they've done more of the work themselves? I think it often happens that way, as opposed to questions and advice. This one, the next one has worked for me, especially with my youngest. My turtle's dead. He was alive this morning. Now don't get so upset, honey. Don't cry. It's only a turtle. I'll buy you another turtle. Yeah, that's me. No, you're being unreasonable. I don't want another one.
Oh.
And here, you try to help them. You want to solve it. You want to be the loving parent, always with, two turtles in your pocket. You don't want them to feel pain. You're trying to take away their pain. Their pain causes you pain. But it's not working. It's just not working. How about this? Give the feeling a name. My turtle is dead. He was alive this morning. Shock. He was my friend. To lose a friend can hurt. Notice, it's not parenting. Parroting. Kids, I have these parrot earrings. Scott said, you should wear those today. I forgot to. Kids don't like that. He was your friend. I mean, they adults don't like you. I taught him new tricks. You had fun together. I fed him every day. You really cared about the turtle. Now, the pain is still there. The pain is not gone. But what is different about the pain now versus here? What's different?
He acknowledged.
It's acknowledged. It's shared.
And he's not up.
No. Yeah. Say up for braces. You may. Timing, is everything. You may buy another turtle down the road. But right now, you just acknowledge where they are.
Yeah.
Good one. Okay, and this one especially works. I want my toasty crunchies. We don't have any here. I want them. I just told you, there aren't any in the house. I'm trying to be logical. No, have some nifty crispies. No, now they're acting like a baby. They are a baby. Probably they're a little guy. I want my toasty crunchies. I wish I had some in the house for you. Better. I want them. I hear how much you want them. I say, you really want them. That's what I mean. I wish I had them now. I wish I had the magic power for a giant dinosaur to bring in a big box of toasty crunchies. Well, maybe I'll have some nifty crispies. I tell you not. If this happened in my house, over a banana.
Yeah.
It did. The whole banana thing, we went through this whole thing, and he got into the story about what the dinosaur looked like and what it was going to do and bring in this banana, and then he had grapes. this is in my back pocket.
Yes. I read through this first chapter yesterday, so I tried to talk to my husband last night. He said, now did you pack one of your sexy nighties?
I'm sorry.
you know, these, who is the black singer that's now into all this, you call 900 and you get your future read?
Dionne Warwick.
Dionne Warwick, she's really into that. Yeah. And then if you stay on later, you know, if you're up at 12:31 watching the TV, you know, these women come on and they'll make all your fan, you know. And it's through talking.
Yeah.
They're giving the adult child their wishes and fantasy. And it's a booming business, clearly. Huh. So it works.
The
psychic
channel.
The psychic channel. And then they have the sex channel, unfortunately, too. Yeah. I think these work, and I think they're good ones for us to think about. Okay. For all of you. And they're funny. They're funny. Okay. All of these things take a measure of compassion and a body language and a facial reaction that rings true. It clearly does. You know, they may work for you sometimes and not for others. For me, again, if I'm stressed, I don't think of it. When I'm calm and peaceful, it's easier for me to do. And so I think it will, and I suspect you may be the same way. And so I'd like us to practice some of these as a group to help our thinking. Now, you're already practicing with the husbands. You get the Okay. I really should probably move my chair down here, shouldn't I? Walk back and forth. Okay. What we'll do is we're just going to come up with a statement. And see if we can name the feeling. What might the feeling be that the child is experiencing? And could we have some statements, many different ones, that show that we understand the feeling? Okay? The child comes home and says, "The bus driver yelled at me and everybody laughed." Now, there could be many feelings, but what might some of them be?
Embarrassment? Humiliation.
Anger.
Maybe a feeling of injustice, depending on.
Wronged.
Okay. A statement back that we could give our kids that would share that we got it. We maybe not agree, but we accept it and acknowledge that feeling. What could we say? The bus driver yelled at me and everybody laughed.
That's tough.
That hurts. Must have been embarrassing.
It must have been embarrassing. You're even naming what it might be, and they could say, "Oh no. But I was angry." You know, it may draw out. Even if you name the wrong feeling, oftentimes people will tell you what it is. Do any of you have Stephen ministry programs in your congregation? You do. Are you a Stephen minister?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you should be able to teach it. This is all part of Stephen's ministry. I don't have it now in our previous congregation, but in our last congregation we did. We talk about that, and sometimes are afraid to say the wrong feeling. But most of the time, I find that people will, especially people who are grieving, if I, you know, I'm listening and trying to have open-ended questions that will help them kind of draw down a tunnel and share more. And if I, they're not saying it, then maybe I will say, "How do you feel?" Something really direct. And it doesn't work, and then I'll say, "I might imagine that you might be feeling." And if they're not, they often tell me. And that's okay, you can make a mistake. "Just because of a little rain, my teacher said we couldn't go on our field trip. She's dumb." What might the feeling be?
Disappointment.
Anger.
Resentment. A statement back that shows that we heard. "Just because of a little rain, my teacher said we couldn't go on a field trip. She's dumb."
Well, I know how much you miss doing that.
You were really looking forward to that.
You were looking forward to it. You know, it's hard for me about this as a teacher. I would be able to say, "It sounds like you're really disappointed you couldn't go, but..."
Is it the dumb part?
Okay. That is really hard, and I would probably let my children know it's not okay to call someone dumb.
Okay. And this is a good example of that. I offer this. that we can acknowledge feelings and we also set limits. You know, if they want to punch, they want to punch somebody, no, we don't use our hands as weapons. There's also a limit. How about this? How about saying that it must be really disappointing? I know how much you're looking at the field trip. And then they can talk about that, kind of suspend judgment a little bit, and then say, I'm uncomfortable, or I'm upset, calling teacher dumb. And then share your values with your child. But I know naturally what I would do is I'd jump first and then kind of try to go back and listen to the feeling. Maybe it'd be more effective to acknowledge the feeling and then deal with the limit on values. Good to call a teacher. Our kids can use dumb, but if they use the word stupid, we kind of go crazy. I don't know what it is about that word stupid, but it pushes both Scott and my buttons. You know, I hate it. We just walk. My mom did not. Mom's the one did not. You were a limit. I mean, that in our house, that is the S word. It's stupid. It's not the other word. I don't know if they probably know that other word, but. I'm sure. They haven't told us that they know the other answer.
The other thing is that you could get into a little logical thinking here. It wasn't your teacher's fault that it rained, you know, and so you have to look at it that way too and think it through, you know, kind of dive in and think it through logically as far as, you know, I know you're upset, I know how you're feeling. It wasn't your, I bet your teacher may have been disappointed too. She didn't want to sit in class for a day, you know, and she couldn't help it that it rained.
And there too, I think that one's a timing issue. But first, acknowledge right. their feeling, and then, you know, to offer. Watch your teacher. I'd be disappointed on that too. Mm-hmm. But here, you know, Mother Nature rained on all of our praise. You know, I think if you use logic first, then it's yeah. Okay. Mary invited me to a party, but I don't know. What do you think the feeling is?
Scared.
Maybe it's a sleepover. You don't feel safe in a sleepover.
Well, Mary might not be the in crowd.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah. Mm.
You want to affiliate with kind another crowd? Mary is. Mm-hmm. Status. What's some statements that one could say back?
It's okay if you don't want to go.
It's okay that you don't.
You don't want to go.
It's okay that you don't. Others.
It sounds like you need some more time to think about that.
Mm.
Then you haven't put any judgment on it at all.
It almost sounds like you want me to ask
what the why were your reservations.
Because
left over.
I can think about when I was a kid and I'd say something like this to my mom and in my case what it meant is I wanted her to say no. Mm-hmm. I couldn't go.
Set the limits.
Yeah. No, that I couldn't go. I didn't want to say that I didn't want to go. I wanted mom to know what I was feeling and to say no, I couldn't go, so I could tell her my mom won't let me go.
And then mom's the older. Yeah, I used to do that too.
So how's mom supposed to know if she doesn't know what you're feeling? You know.
Then maybe. Try this out. I'm not sure if you want to go to the party. And now you be married. You be yourself back then. What might you say?
I don't know.
When you're weighing the issues, what do you think about?
I don't know that I always like to be around Karen.
So you don't really want to go?
Well, it's only a good time to go.
It's a hard one. It just yesterday we were talking about, well, before we came up here, especially with a nine-year-old, we wanted to give him boundaries. Because I'm a little afraid of that. Well, I'm not a little afraid. I'm afraid of the river.
Right.
Not for him, but for the six-year-old. Because he just like dashing. And so he has boundaries. And Kyle said, so what are my boundaries today? What was the boundaries we're saying yesterday? What if we're not with friends and they want to cross over the mind? That's another fear. I'm afraid that they're going to go over that mind. And so Scott and I are trying to talk about this. And he knows why, what we're afraid of. And well, what would I say? He says, I know, I'm going to say, oh, I just remembered. I have to read a book right now. Something like, you know, if you want us to be the bad guys, the ogres, you can just say, oh, my mom and dad won't let me. They're so strict. You know, he didn't like that. But many times, especially in high school, I got situations where I just have to say, oh, you know, my parents, they're so strict. But I was afraid. And I used that. So you have a sense that your daughter has those situations.
Well, no, I know that she has had a situation where she's been invited and she's done this I don't know thing, and I've known of the situation because I know the relationship, and I said it's okay to say no and not go, you know. And I've also given her an out if you, it would be more comfortable if we planned something together as a family to do that evening instead. You know, yes. if that is more comfortable, go ahead and tell so-and-so that we're going to be doing this
as a family.
Well, that was nice to say, just like, are you comfortable with doing this or not? And try to draw out again.
Try
out.
Yeah.
Your position.
I think those are good suggestions, and I think they're very real, especially as your kids get older. It's hard to sometimes say, I don't want to go to your peers. Yeah. I'll just do one more. I don't know why teachers have to load you down with so much homework on the weekend. What might the feeling be? Anger?
Overwhelmed.
After Sunday night.
What would we say in return?
See, I used to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
I used to feel that way, and you know what I finally started doing about it? I started doing my homework earlier. So I was trying to get into
it. See, that to me sounds like advice.
Yeah, it sounds like advice, absolutely.
Right. Yeah,
it is. So, well, if Kyle said that, that's what I'd want to do. I'd say, what have you done? You know?
Right.
And that's a trick. It's a tough one.
How about to offer to help get started on it or something?
That's usually works.
Work together.
Get the first step taken.
You know, sometimes things seem so big, many steps, but you take that little teeny baby step and get the ball rolling.
Break it up into smaller pieces. You know, help them.
How could we, is there a way that we could acknowledge the feeling and then help them?
I was thinking something along the lines of you were looking forward to some more free time this weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's so important to make them understand that that's their responsibility.
It is. It is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a kid in high school who still thinks mom's going to help him get his homework started, you know, because we've been doing that all this time, you know. So it's you can create a monster.
She has a chapter in here, or they have a chapter in here, which I think is very good, called Increasing Autonomy, How to Help Your Kids Be More on Their Own. And we're going to talk about that next week. But that maybe person helps too.
That's the key. I know when I was in college, I used to bring my laundry on the weekend.
I'd rather do laundry than homework. I hate those late night.
Oh, it still has to be tight, Mom.
Okay, what I'd like to do now is we're gonna just practice something in twos, and it looks like we are an even number. And so if you would figure out who your partner's going to be for your first step, and if you want to be with spouses, you can. If you'd rather not, that's always kind of fun to try it with somebody new, too. Okay, so you're there.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Okay, how are you doing this?
We're new.
Are you going to do it? Do we do it together? Okay.
Do you want to be the parent?
Or
do you want me to be the child?
I'll be the child. Fine. Okay, in your twos, your first task is who's going to be the parent and who's going to be the child?
Okay. I think I am.
Okay. All the children, right now, I want you to go out here and wait, and then all the children.
Okay.
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 And
then I'll call you back in. Children, oh, I'm sure you won't. You'll get this right away.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be the parent.
You're the parent. I'm the child. Okay.
Oh, you have to go out.
No. Okay. Okay, here's the deal. We're gonna role play the same thing twice. The first time is you can make all the big mistakes you want to. Try not to be perfect the first time. Basically, here it is. Your child has to have allergy shots every week. And you know that your child dreads going, but you also know that it just hurts for just a little bit. But today, after leaving the doctor's office, your child really complains. Now, the first time, try to get your child to stop complaining by denying their feelings. You could use something like, come on, it can't hurt. You know, you're wearing your big girl panties today. This is a big fuss over nothing. You have to get used to them. You're going to be doing this the rest of your life. I pay good money. You know, whatever you want to use to deny the feeling. Okay. And when the conversation comes to a natural conclusion, you're just exhausted from doing the program, you just stop. Okay. Now, the second time, then see if you can accept those feelings. Okay, see if you can do other things like must have been painful, that bad, sounds if it really hurts. It's not easy to have these shots week after week. And then again, just do it for a little bit of time. So your first time is your deny feelings.
Okay. Thank you.
They got a whine.
A room full of whining adults.
Doctors.
Is parents feeling the need to have power over their children?
Yeah.
And that we need to deal with that, I think, on our own, is that we don't necessarily always have to be right. Or, you know what, I'll have to think about that with the cat. Maybe it's just not worth our having a cat. And even though that would be something I would have to give up, maybe that's okay. And maybe that's saying something to my child that you are so important and that sometimes I'm wrong. You know, but I think as parents, we need to deal with that.
The issue of power and control.
Well, I've used that before. I'm the parent, we're doing it my way.
Does it work?
Sometimes. You know, sometimes not. But I don't think that's always the right way, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then don't you think the kid's going to feel pretty defensive and play the one-up game that, hey, if you're the parent, well, I'm the kid and I'm going to do this, you know, and it's just kind of going back and forth, too.
I remember, I don't remember what prompted this, but I remember numerous times as a kid, going into my room, slamming the door, and saying, I just want to kill them. And I think that's natural. I suspect all of us.
I don't think you can avoid that.
I don't think we can. But
I did that as an adult.
You did that as an adult to your parents?
Yes.
Well, you know, and that, see, breaking those, that's hard. That's a whole other expertise out there. Because I, you know, that's a really hard one. As a, you know, as an almost 40-year-old, how do you deal with your parents and your own kids? And you know, when my buttons are pushed, especially for power and control, little ones, you may hear him say this occasionally. So far he hasn't said it. I'm waiting for him to say it in a room where he can embarrass me in front of many of them. And his new word is, you're not the boss. And I just want to, because I don't think I've said that to him, but I must have said that to him for him to repeat it back at me. But I just want to strangle him. And it's power control.
You know, my mother gave me a plaque from Arizona. It was a beautiful plaque, and said, because I'm the mom, that's why. And she felt that I needed to take more control or you know.
In your own kids.
In my own kids. And when I read that, and I didn't know why until years later, why that bothered me so much. Why I couldn't put it up in my home. It just didn't feel right to me. Because it's saying that it doesn't matter what you feel, all that matters is that I'm right and what I say goes. And I think that we have to take a look at that. Because that's not acknowledging that at all, just human beings.
And it's acknowledging in a way that your parents, you know, I believe that your parents probably did the very best they could with the information they had, the choices they made. Right. And you as an adult mother want to do it differently. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason.
Right. I mean, I will certainly pass on some of the great things.
You bet.
But there are things that I need to stop.
You don't want to pass on. Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear my parents when I was having a little bit here. I can hear some of the things that my parents had said to me.
Yes.
And
those feelings, they bubble right up. You know, I don't know that we quite have time to reverse the role because it's almost 11:30, and I don't want to switch you. But what we were going to do is reverse it and see how we do as parents and children, and how we would feel. If I just come in as a child and I say, you know, the doctor nearly killed me with that shot. What might one of you say back to me?
Sounds like it really hurt.
It did hurt, you know. You know, Mom, I'm not ever going to have those again.
I can understand why you feel that way, but because of your asthma, it's something that needs to be done right now.
Is it okay if we just pursue this real quick?
Sure.
You know, Mom, my asthma, I think, is caused by our cat. If you just get rid of that cat.
Well, I'm going to have to give that some thought. Because that's a cat that I've had for so many years, and that would be really hard for me to give up the cat. But we'll have to think about that.
You know, it would be hard to give up Peaches, wouldn't it?
It would.
Yeah.
And I don't like that you are suffering from asthma because of the cat.
I mean, if my mom, we all had cats and nobody would look at a cat, but I can imagine a kid you know, well, a cat is a pet. I mean, they're more than a pet. They're part of the family. And to think of giving up the pet, I know that could be, as a child, I think receiving that would be a very sacred moment. I was just talking to another parent, and they live in a place where there are particular rules, and the family decided to break rules, some rules, on behalf of some rituals that they have as a family, and how much that means to those kids, knowing that, you know, yeah, your mom did, should not break rule. However, this one family ritual is so important that my parents will break these rules and possibly suffer the consequence. You know, it's kind of an interesting twist there.
That opens up another can of worms when you have more than one child, because I know if we had to get rid of one of our animals for one of the children, the other one would just be furious. And we'd have to, you know, go through all of her feelings and resentment, and that would be might mean something to the one that you're giving him the cap for, or the sibling. What else do you think?
It's a tough issue. Yes, it is. You know, and responding to all these feelings. Now, we don't do this a lot, but I know some families that do this a lot that I think their probably family life is great because of it. They have this family table time, and things come to the family table, and whatever it is, and everybody gets to talk, and you come up with you know, every possible solution, and then you start throwing them out. But you know, as a way to problem solve everybody's opinion of how it should be done. And then you finally agree on something that everybody can actually agree on. And then the trick there is that everyone really agrees to it. You know, before you leave the table, we all know why we made this decision. It's not right for everybody.